All right. As you said, very sensitive, so take your Bibles, turn to Mark 9, and because of sensitivity treatment that I've been in, if you behave, Brother Sam, we have a bag of chocolate, okay? But it's only if he deems you good enough, all right? So it's up to him. So he has every right and authority to say no to you and to make you have a bad day the rest of the day. You know what I mean? Because then you'll go into a fit of depression or something like that, and there'll be more therapy for you. But that's sometimes good for you. You know what I mean? Therapy, right? No, Mark chapter 9. We're gonna talk about something. Something God led me to do. If you don't know who I am, all right, so some of you weren't even thought of, and actually your parents even now wish they didn't think of you. Oh, all right, but really, I went off to school and to Bible college, and then I was a youth pastor for 21 years. All right, so I still love youth. In fact, my youth pastor is jetting in about 3 weeks. He's heading down to pastor again, so I'm taking over as the head of our youth again. I love youth. All right, so I love goofing off with them, having a good time, and making fun of them. That is one of my favorite things to do, is just make fun of people. And so now I can legally do that because I'm youth pastor again. Okay? But we're going to be looking at a topic that I think is helpful, and that is called the selfish life. All right? The selfish life. Now, some people would say, wait a minute, I can't believe that you would pick that. But I want to ask a question, and we'll ask it at the end. Are you selfish, or are you selfless? All right, and we're going to look at Mark chapter 9 to kind of figure this out. We live in a very selfish society. One man put it this way, a selfish heart is a heart that only cares about the Holy Trinity, me, myself, and I. Okay, we have to be careful because even as a young person, and if you're a godly young person, the world has an influence on us. And so what is the world's influence? What's one of the world's influences on us? Yes, it can be fads. It can be in different things that as far as the world and music and morality, all of that type of stuff. But one of the things that can have an influence on is to indicate to us that we are the center of the universe. And that's not biblical. And I'm going to try to help you today. I did a longer study on this. We will not get through all of it. But the selfish life, you can see it all through the Bible and the horrible consequences of the selfish life. I want to ask you, maybe jot down a few notes later this week, maybe in your own personal devotions, in your own personal study. Consider this idea and say, God, am I selfish? Is it all about me? Even in the school situation, is it all about you? I have to admit that when I was a young person, and even now as a pastor, you know what sometimes I can do? I can have a pity party. I can say, my people don't care about me. All right, we all do. We get a little pity party, and we start saying, well, I mean, look at what, you know, I didn't get any friendly notes this week. Well, guess what? Have you sent any out? Have you said anything nice to anybody? You know, as I've been studying this, all right, God dealt with me on it as a pastor. All right, and I regularly visit my church members, but God started nudging me and saying, hey, why don't you get involved yourself? And so a couple months ago, every week, in fact, on the way home, I wrote down of a list of people, and so I pray through my church members every week. Okay, that's one of the jobs of a pastor. But then, as I'm praying, God will say, write them. So I started a couple months ago handwriting just a few church members a week. And I can't tell you how many folks have come up to me. Like, Pastor, thanks for that note. It came at the right time. I was so discouraged. I was down. You know why? Instead of always thinking about yourself, my challenge to you is start thinking of other people. Start thinking of others. You'll see your world turn around when you start doing that. There's an old story, before we get into Mark 9, there's an old story of a desert nomad. And he awoke in the middle of the night, and he was hungry. And so he lit a candle, and he was sitting in a tent or something like that. And there was a fruit bowl sitting next to him. Okay, and so he took a bite from one of the things in the little piece of fruit there. He took a bite, and remember, the candle was lit. He took a bite, and he looked down, and there was a worm in it. So he tossed it up against the side of the tent. It was like, psh, hey, come on. And he saw another piece of fruit, grabbed it, bit into it, and guess what there was again? There's another worm. So he took it, beamed it again, and tossed it. He's like, psh, this is crazy, man. What's up? So then he grabbed another one, bit into it, and guess what was there again? A worm. Threw it away again. And instead of just saying, oh, I'm not eating anymore, he blew out the candle and he said, you know, if I keep going this way, I'm really hungry. If I keep going this way, I will never get to eat anything. So he just left the candle out, picked up the next piece of fruit, and just started eating it, worm and all. Now, I tell that story starting out because some of us, when it comes to the selfish life, what you're going to do is you're going to turn the light out and you're going to say it doesn't exist in your life. Whether you turn the light off or you turn it on, selfishness is in all of us. It is there, and we get consumed with ourselves. And my prayer is this morning that as we consider this subject of the selfish life, will you ask God and say, God, show it to me. Open it up. And you know what he'll do every time? If you're honest with him, he'll show you. He'll reveal it to you. And every time, I know my two sons were here. They wanted to stay, but they have school. All right, they have school, so they drove back last night with the college crew that was here to get in. They actually made good time, 11:40 last night, and off to school this morning. But a few weeks ago, in our school, and I grew up here, so this was a little foreign to me when I hit Fairhaven. Okay, Fairhaven for 40-something years, they wrestle, which is a little different world, all right? Wrestling is a little different world. So my boys have grown up since they were 3 years old wrestling. And so my oldest is 17 years old, and Thanksgiving weekend they had a big dual meet, all right? It was 9 duels, which means it was 9 individual, basically, team competitions. And my son really gets into wrestling. He's pretty good at it. He loves working out. But yet the coach called me, because it was on Thanksgiving weekend. They called it the War on the Wabash. All right, it's a big tournament. And the coach called me, and he said, hey, you know, I need to talk to you about your son because he's having a little bit of an issue. And what it was is he hates losing. And so the one match he lost, and, man, you wear headgear and everything. He whipped his headgear down. I mean, the coach had to come up, grab him, and he's like, you better settle down. And he just a bad spirit. And some of it was he was mad at himself. So that night he came home, and I said, hey, you know, we got to talk for a few minutes. And, all right, with teens, all right, especially teen boys, I like to treat teen boys like men, okay? So I told Jake, I said, this is going to take me 3 minutes. You're an idiot, all right, and we're going to deal with this. And I'm gonna kick your head in if you keep this up. I said, that's all we have to do. I said, I'm not gonna talk long because you know what? That's just gonna irritate you. I said, you wanna be a man, we're gonna grow up like a man, but you've gotta get a hold of this. And I said, some of it is that you are letting your flesh take over. All right, you're letting self become so important. I said, and I'll help you with this. We can study the Bible, we can get through this, but this is what we're gonna have to do. Later that evening, that's what I said, it took about 3 minutes. And later that evening, he came up and he said, hey, Dad, can we just talk for a couple minutes? I said, yep. He says, Dad, I don't know what happened. I said, what do you mean? He said, I was doing okay. Then all of a sudden, I was like, whoop, I was Gonsville. I just lost it. I said, Jake, his name's Jake. I said, Jake, that's why Dad's here. I said, you don't understand all this, but I've been through this before. Sometimes you're just heading down the road, and you're like, got it. And then all of a sudden, stupidity takes over. All right? Now, for some of you, you live in that world all the time. All right? All right? Some of your friends could attest to that. You live in Stupidville all the time. You have pitched your tent. You are actually building a house there. All right? But sometimes, you're just, all of a sudden, you get carried away. I said, that's our flesh. That's self. We've got to learn to put it under. All of us do. That's why we have to consider this subject of the selfish life. Are you consumed with me and it's all about me? Or are we going to be selfless? Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless. As we take this time, help us to consider, are we selfish or selfless? I pray, Lord, that you would do your work. As always, do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we have a number of different thoughts, but let's look at Mark chapter 9. I think some of us may know this passage, but in Mark chapter 9, look at verse 30, and there's a section here of 30 through 37, okay? So what does it say? And they departed thence, passed through Galilee. He would not that any man should know it, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men. They shall kill him. After that he is killed, he shall rise to the day. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. Then notice what it says. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? Notice what the discussion was. But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves. What? Yeah, it's like in the youth group. He was hanging out with the Heritage or Cleveland Baptist youth group. And so the youth pastor comes up like, hey, what's the talk going on? And it was like, All right. And here's the talk. Who should be the greatest? What is up with that? Can you imagine this is kind of like, oh, no, I'm the best. Really? You're the best? No, you should have seen me. I own the court. Like, no, you didn't. You were so stupid. I mean, we almost lost the game. All right, here's the discussion. So put it in our vernacular. That's what's going on. They're disputing who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, what is it? The same shall be what? Last them all. Come on now. All right, I need your feedback. All right, you can do the big clapping, all right, and you can do all that. You guys really, I'm glad that your principal talked about, you really got to work on the singing thing. All right, that wasn't very Christmassy. I was almost ready to return all my gifts. All right, I was just so depressed. I felt like the Grinch, okay? Anyways, remember, I'm very sensitive. Okay, so this is what he says. If any man desire to be first, the same shall be, what's the word? Last of all, and, man, you guys got to get, come on, it starts with an S, ends with a T, what?
Servant.
Okay, so this is what I want us to think about. I want us to think if we are selfish or selfless. So we got kind of two strains of thoughts, and we're going to consider them just quickly. First of all, let's consider the selfish life. So in the Bible, is there examples for us to understand the selfish life? Yes. Right away, we can go to the book of Genesis, and you find an example of selfishness. You find two brothers. Who? Close. Yeah, Jacob and Esau. I'll give you that one. All right. Well done. All right, but that's not my example. Let's go earlier. Cain and Abel. Okay, so there's one that is selfless, and there's one that is selfish. Now, what do we mean by selfish? All right, here is Cain, and what did God do? God said, this is what I want done. You obey this, and I'll be satisfied. He purposely, on his own, made his decision. He went away and did not do what God said, and guess what happens? God doesn't accept his gift. Whose fault is it? Now, we know that, But Cain said, whose fault is it? Abel's. All right? And I know I keep doing that, all right? But I'll try to not do that. All right? But here he is. Here's Cain, and he's mad. Why is he mad? He's mad because Abel obeyed, and God blessed it. And this is what happens in our life in Teenville. Somebody obeys their parents, and God blesses it. Why does God bless it? Because he promises to. He says, children obey, right? Which includes teenagers, just so you know that. Okay? So teens are supposed to obey if you want to use that language. Teens obey your parents. Why? For this is right. So you decide not to obey. Somebody else decides to obey, and God blesses their life. He doesn't bless your life, and you say, how come God's blessing that dude? That's not fair. You know what? We gotta get, as I say it, there's a train that's coming, and pull the whistle. You know what the train is? I call it the wuss train. Wuss, wuss. All right? Here it's coming. It's coming through. You own it. All right? You own all of it. You don't just own, I mean, you got residency on the wuss train. Wuss, wuss. Here it comes. And what are you doing? It's because you chose not to follow God's way. All right, so here's an example in the Bible. Selfishness. You have Cain. Here's another one. This one is great. All right, in the time of the kings, you have a king who owns everything. His name was King Ahab. King Ahab goes out one day and he's looking, maybe he's traveling around, and he notices a vineyard. Remember the story? No. Whose vineyard? Naboth's. Naboth's vineyard. So Naboth has a vineyard. That means that Naboth has worked hard. He's owned it. It's his property. And King Ahab is the king. I'm sure he has all kinds of vineyards. I'm sure he has all kinds of cattle. He has all kinds. He basically has anything he wants. But he wants that one. You know what that is? Selfishness. You can't be happy with what you got. All of us have a life we have to live. And some people, yes, you may think that they're more privileged than you. But you haven't walked in their shoes. I haven't walked in their shoes. I haven't walked in any of yours. So I don't know your life. I know mine. But what the devil wants you to do is get you dissatisfied with what he has given you. That's called a lack of contentment. And so then you start saying that everybody else has had it better and I haven't. I'm sorry, you're the king, dude. I don't know, there's not much bigger or better than the king. And here's little Naboth that has a little vineyard. Like, so guess what he does? He goes home, he's like, Mommy. Because that's probably what he called his wife. He's like, Mommy. And she's like, oh, come on over here. And he's curled up on his beddy. He's curled up on his beddy. He's like, and she's like, what's wrong, dear? I mean, you're not eating your porridge tonight. He's like, oh, it's so hard. I was out there. And there was this guy's named Navy or something like that. And he has a vineyard, and I don't get it. So guess what she does? And this is just my mind. His wife, I think, is huge. I really do. I mean, I'm just thinking she's huge. And she's like, hey, Ahab. I'll go. And she kind of has a deep voice. She's probably a smoker. All right? Like, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to take care of him. All right? All right. Now, that's just my teenage mind. All right? Going wild. Okay? But guess what happened? Guess what happened to King Ahab? King Ahab was so filled with himself that he wasn't satisfied with what God gave him. He was dissatisfied, and so then that dissatisfaction led him to basically take something, to steal, to destroy. And that's what the selfish life will lead you to. It's a dangerous road to go down. So selfishness. Remember even David. It's sad because David is a king. He was a man after God's own heart. But remember, he wasn't satisfied. So what did he do? He wanted somebody else's wife. What he had wasn't good enough. It's so wrong. And remember what I said as far as the selfish life, it'll take you down a bad road. David not only then committed adultery, but then he killed a man that was a godly man, according to the Bible. That was a warrior. That was a strong man. It'll take you down a bad road once you start heading down this road of the selfish life. That's why I'm just saying, as a Christian, please watch out for it. And you have godly parents. Some of you, you may not, and that's what some of you might be saying, well, I don't have that. Okay? Well, you have godly authority. That's what a church is given to you for. All right? We all have problems that we have to deal with. But God will always give you, the Bible says he'll always give you a way of escape, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13. But he also will give you people that can help you at your age. Right here, you have a bunch of people that can help you. So we've got to be careful of the selfish life. So we have a couple examples, and we got to keep going, okay? So what are some characteristics? So those are some examples, and there's other examples, and if you're going to do a Bible study, you can go through the Bible, and you will find at least 6 or 7 more examples in the Bible of the selfish life, probably more. But as I was going through these examples, what I started seeing is character traits that came out. So guess what the selfish life, a characteristic is? Self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. So, think about this. Here James and John are walking down the road, and Jesus is near them. Now, just so you, if you don't know this in your theology, and I know a lot of you probably aren't really studying theology right now, but just someday, all right, just so you know, Jesus is kind of a really big deal. Okay, so some of you may not know that. All right, Jesus is a big deal. He was God, all right, just a little thing there, part of the Trinity. He left heaven, came down to earth. So here is Jesus nearby, really almost within shouting distance. There he is, and here's James and John. Hey, so who do you think's the greatest?
Maybe the guy over there. Yeah, that guy.
Maybe Jesus? Come on. But guess what happens among us? We start doing the same thing. We become self-centered. Like, oh, well, you see me last Saturday? All right, we've kind of gotten away from this, okay, and I'm so glad. But it used to be in our circles about 20, 30 years ago, people would come in on Saturday night or Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, and I'd be like, hey, yeah, yesterday I had 14 people saved. Like, how's that possible? I heard this one time. There's a guy that claims that he's been overseas, and I'm pretty sure they were overseas with a missions group for like 7 days, and they saw something like 14 or 15,000 people saved. I did the math. I don't know how it's possible, unless every 4 seconds, something like that, somebody was saved. I'm like, what is the deal, guys? I'm like, oh, you don't know. I just got a gift. People, I walk in, like, oh, what am I supposed to do? All right, one, two, three. That's not even possible. But sometimes we get into that. We get into that, like, oh, I know in Cleveland, you guys have the SMITE program. So then maybe God blesses you with a little talent. And so you kind of get good in children's ministries. I love children's ministries. I actually was a junior church teacher for over 15 years just for second grade in our church. I love getting into puppets and magic and all kinds of different things. But guess what? I'm like, oh, the kids just love me. Actually, what I want the kids to do is love Christ, to love God. It's not about me and like, who's the favorite teacher of all time? Not me. It shouldn't be. But self-centered people get really upset when somebody else gets praise. So they're self-centered. Guess what else they are? They're self-conceited, which is very similar. Self-conceited says opposite of this is that we're not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's found in Romans 12:3. I have Bible for everything I'm saying, just so you know. So self-centeredness, also self-conceitedness, the other thing is self-willed. Self-willed is a characteristic of a selfish person. So what do we mean by self-willed? You know who is a great example of a person that was self-willed? Satan. Satan was selfish, and that's what you have to come down to as a young person. You got to see the source of selfishness. It goes straight back to Satan. Because Satan was created as a cherub to lift praise and honor to God, and it wasn't good enough. So guess what he said? You know what? That's not fair. That's not right. How come they're praising God all the time? How come I was created to that? And this is what he said. I deserve this. In the passage in Isaiah, I think it's 5 or 6 times the words I will are used. He is self-willed, self-indulgent, self-righteous, and self-satisfied. And self-satisfaction means that you're just happy where you are. And that's actually not biblical. Philippians 3 said, I press towards the mark. It says, I forget those things which are behind. And that means good and bad. You know what I still don't do? I don't go back to my high school. In high school, we didn't play baseball. You guys play baseball now? No? Yes? You kind of do something. All right. Wiffle ball? All right, something like that. All right. T-ball? But we played soccer, basketball, and softball. Okay? So the big thing was to get a 3-letterman award. That was the big thing. Get a 3-letterman. I have no idea where those things are at. I don't walk my sons by there and say, Dad earned all of those. They're like, Dad, one, what are those things? All right, who has these gaudy things like that? All right, and then they switched and they did these like little ribbon medallion things. I have no clue where those are at. You know, because some of that, the accolades and all that, at some point, you got to push that aside, even the praise, because it's all about God and not you. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. The Bible says that I need to keep growing in my knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he's going to be conforming us to the image of Christ. That's not a one-time thing. That's an everyday thing. So let me switch gears now. All right, so we've been talking all about the selfish life. So let's switch it and let's say, so how do I get the selfless life? The verse to start out with is Galatians 2:20. What does it say in Galatians 2:20? I am crucified with Christ. That's what the Bible is telling us. I am crucified with Christ. What is it? What else does it say? It says, Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but who? Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So let me give you the cure for the selfish life. Let me give you the cure. All right, you take these pills, and some of them are big. All right, they're huge. All right, and you're going to get help sometimes stuffing these down. But Galatians 2:20 helps us, and it all it all deals with self, but the Bible teaches all this. So how do I get out of living the selfish life and turn and start living the selfless life? Number one, self-denial. Self-denial. The Bible tells us over and over that we need to learn to deny ourselves. We need to humble ourselves. Jesus spoke on this subject in the New Testament, and it's a problem for all of us. Why? In Luke chapter, we were there in Mark, but in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, let me just read it quickly, all right, for sake of time, because I know I need to get done here. All right, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, it says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and notice what it says. All right, it says, take up your cross how often? Anybody know? Daily. You will never be successful in defeating the selfish life if you only deal with it once a week. Every day, you know what happens to me every day? Myself wants to be king. And I want to whine. I want to join the wuss train. All right. I want to get on that thing, and I want to say people don't appreciate, people don't like me. People, every day that's going to happen to you. So every day when you get up in the morning, bow before God and say, God, help me to learn to deny myself today, to live for others and to live for your cause. So self-denial. Secondly, some people call it self-control. I've renamed it. I call it spirit control. And the reason is, self-control, guess what I know about myself? What does the Bible say about self? In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And in fact, in Galatians chapter 5, a fruit of the Spirit is temperance. Anybody know what temperance is? Self-control. Now, so that's why I call it spirit control. So this, I go back to my story with my son, and we were talking about, man, just something came over. And I stopped him, and I said, Jake, I'm always talking to you about the Spirit. I said, Dad cannot always be there. But the Holy Spirit is with you every second of every day. And you've got to die to self every day. And I said, Jake, somewhere when you were going into your rant, I said, the Holy Spirit's there. And he stopped. He goes, huh, I know when it was. I said, you've got to give in to the Spirit. Spirit is there. And all of us, it's not just for me. Now, I believe in a special unction for preaching. But every one of us, all right, and it doesn't matter how young you are here. We probably got 12-year-olds sitting here. You say, oh, I'm only 12. Yes, the Spirit, if you're saved, the Spirit, you can surrender to the Spirit. And the Spirit is a person of the Godhead who's been given to you and me while God, Christ went up into heaven and he said, I won't leave you without somebody. And the Spirit is there. You don't have to be all spooky about it. The Spirit will help you. So what is the cure to get rid of selfishness? Self-denial, spirit control, and you know what else? Self-sacrifice. You know what the Bible says? Most of us know the verse in Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. It's a little bit different than dead. It'd be pretty easy to come up and just lay myself down, kill myself, say, I'm done. All right? But God wants a living sacrifice, so that means now he wants you to be giving. Most of us have seen that. When you feel a huge onslaught of selfishness come on, go give somebody something. It'll help you. Even within your school body. You know what will change your school student body? Stop thinking about yourself. See if there's somebody else that can use encouragement this week. Somebody else that maybe needs some prayer. And then come up to him and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I know you're having a tough time. You know what's still happening? You'll start thinking about others. You'll start realizing that there's a whole world out there that is actually pretty nice to be a part of. But when it's all about us and that selfishness is there, man, it's a lonely place. And how do we get rid of it? Self-denial, spirit control, and self-sacrifice. I read this poem and I thought it was interesting. It said there's a clever young man named somebody else. There's nothing this guy can't do. He's busy from morning till way late at night, just substituting for you. You're asked to do this, you're asked to do that, and what is your ready reply? Get somebody else to do that job. He'll do it much better than I. So much to do in this weary old world, so much and workers so few, and somebody else, all weary and worn, is still substituting for you. So the next time you're asked to do something worthwhile, just give this ready reply. If somebody else can give time and support, my goodness, so can I. Why can't you step up to the plate? Stop saying it's their job. Stop saying they haven't appreciated me. Stop saying, what appreciation do I deserve? I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything good. Why? Because my sins, biblically, put Christ on the cross. I don't deserve anything good, and neither do you. It's not because I'm such a good person and I've studied. And I'm not saying that's a whole discussion sometime else, because when you get God, you want to do everything right. And you do. And I believe in that. And I believe in excellence. But at some point, you start understanding the worth of self, and it really isn't worth a lot. And what we have to do is deal with it. We read a story, and we close with it. There was a man that was kind of dealing with addictions, and he, I don't know if it was alcohol or drugs or whatever, but he would go on binges. And one of the times that he went on a binge, he entered into a rowboat one night, and he wanted to cross the river. He picked up the oars, and he started pulling away. And man, he rowed, and he rowed, and he rowed. So he thought. He rowed all night. And in the morning, he didn't reach the destination. He awoke, and he was kind of out of it. And it was daylight. And he was surprised to find that he was just where he started the night before, because he never released the boat from the dock. And this is what some of you, you're going to hear a message. You're going to be told to think about some different things throughout the course of your teenage life. One of them this morning is about the worthlessness of self and the selfish life. But if you do not remove yourself and untie yourself from some of the bad self habits, you will row and row and row and get nowhere. You'll never see any progress. And yet, God says through the power of His Holy Spirit, He can help you. He can give you the help you need. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. And in just a moment, Brother Sam will come and he'll deal with the invitation. But I ask you this morning, I know for teenagers, it's very important. It's very important to learn to live the selfless life and not the selfish life. And I know some of it is even learning that, guess what? At this stage in your life, what God tells me to do is most important. It's not necessarily, if God deals with my heart, I'm not going to worry about what my friends are thinking. Why? Because that's selfish. It's selfish. You're not giving in to God. You're not asking Him to do what He can do in your life. And I ask you this morning, maybe there's been some evidences of the selfish life. It's been over the past week. It's been over the past month. And God's been dealing with you on it, and He pinpointed it this morning. It may be even an action that is so clear in your mind that God pinpointed and said, that was very selfish, and He nailed it to the wall. This morning you'd say, you know, God touched my heart. Would you pray for me? Would you slip up your hand? Is there anybody like that? All right, thank you. Anybody else? All right, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. You'd slip up your hand. I'd just like to pray for you. It's good for us to be on. All right, thank you. It's good for us to be on the spot. Yep, thank you. It's good for us. All right, the devil wants you to say, oh, you don't have a problem. He doesn't want you to address it. He wants you to live in that self-centered life. God wants you to put self under. And daily we have to do that. If you'd say, you know, would you pray for me also? Anybody else before we close in prayer? Thank you. Anybody else? Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this time, and thank you for the attentiveness of these young people. I pray that you'd bless, or it'd help us to learn to live not selfish, but selfless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.